Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning, North Carolina, and a good morning to all my precious friends that have tuned in this morning across this great universe. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson. Welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you've tuned in. I hope you've taken time to invite your family and friends. It's a wonderful time of the year for family and friends. Thanksgiving is just a few days away. I don't know about you, but I have a lot to be thankful for, and I am so blessed. I hope that you're giving God a high praise for all your blessings throughout this year and the year to come. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, giving you thanks for everything in my life, thanking you for my family, thanking you for my children, for my grandchildren, their wonderful spouses, my friends and co-workers, the people from Blog Talk Radio. God bless you for giving me the opportunity. Bless them, Lord, in so many ways. Thank you for my pastor, Al and Tava Bryce, whom I love with all my heart, who have poured into me all these years. I speak blessings over them, and I am so grateful for them. And I'm so grateful for Reverend Wayne and Carolyn Anders, who are my closest and dearest friends. I love you so much with all my heart. Thank you, and I speak blessings over you this morning. Father, there's so many things to be thankful for, but there's so many things that we need to ask you for this morning. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they're saved and they know you as Lord and Savior. But if not, God, there will be an opportunity today for them to accept you as Lord and Savior of their life. I speak blessings over them. I speak blessings over their families, over every listener that has tuned in this morning. Father, this is a wonderful time of the year to celebrate so many things, but we should also be thankful for every day that we have, every day that we are alive. I know that so many people, God, are such complainers and grumblers, and they don't look around to see that they are alive, that they are well, that they're healthy, that they have food on their table, that they have a car, a job, a house to live in. God, we have so much good health to be grateful for. And God, I ask you this morning to save the lost and save those who are playing church and just are cardinal-minded and just want to go their way and never choosing your way, which is the best way, which they could find out who they really are and do the things that you've created them to do to make a difference in this world and to recognize and stop for a moment and breathe in and breathe out and be thankful for everything that they have on a daily basis. God, I pray for our country, our nation, our president, our congressmen, all the leaders locally, statewide, all over this great universe. Father, you're the one that have placed them in office. I know that we don't stop to think about that. We think that every person that voted placed them. Oh, yes, they did. But God's hand was in there, believe me. Whoever is in office, it is done by God. We must not forget that, that God is the one who's in control. We think as people that we're in control, oh no, we have it so wrong. We can't do anything without God. Help us to stop and think about that this morning. As we're praying, as we're being still, as we're being grateful for all the things, Lord, there's so many people out there that need to be delivered and set free, that need to be healed of drugs, of alcohol, of pornography, so many other things. The list could go on and on. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, you know who they are. I ask you for them to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered, because you set the captive free. And when you set the captive free, who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. God, we give you all the glory and all the honor for this program this morning, for all the blessed benefits, and for not forgetting that all your promises are true. Thank you for everything and for every person that is tuned in this morning. And if I've left anyone out, you know who you are, and I am grateful for every person and everything in my life. To God be the glory, and may you listen intently with your heart this morning to an awesome message that I believe that God has poured into my spirit. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen and amen. And everybody out there this morning, say amen in the holy name of God, in Jesus' name. Okay? The message title this morning is A Time to Be Thankful. Forget not all his benefits. And my text is coming from Psalms 103, 1 through 5. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isn't that an awesome verse? God is so good, isn't he? Let us give him praise this morning. And in this Runway bestseller, a book, The 1 Minute Manager, written by Ken Blanchard, recommends that leaders develop the practice of the 1 minute praising, in which they catch them with their employers doing something good, something right. Well, I'll use the bosses, which catch us doing something wrong. How rare is it, my precious friends, to be praised when we have done something well, when we've done something good, when we've done something right? Well, Blanchard's idea is to catch them doing something right and then give them a 1 minute praising right on that spot. Don't wait, he says, because waiting takes away the impact. Tell them right then, right there, how much you appreciate the good job they are doing. This actually is more difficult than you could and it possibly appears. Now, most of us are better at criticism than at praise. We're much better at 1 minute blaming than 1 minute praising. Many of us would do well to put this into practice this week, right now, today. Don't procrastinate, because we're not promised tomorrow, my friends. Catch someone doing something right and praise them on the spot. It could revolutionize your marriage, change the way you relate to your children, encourage those who report to you, and then, in general, make you a much nicer person, and the people you're praising make them a much nicer person to be around. Well, but it needs to be intentionally, now, not later. That's Blanchard's point, and it applies very much to our relationship with God. Many of us are better at complaining this morning. I need to read Numbers 10 and 13. It's a sad story of the children of Israel complaining against the Lord in the wilderness after all he had done for them. After the great miracle in the Red Sea, they were griping and complaining and moaning and groaning. But God sent manna, and they didn't like it. They missed the good food that they had back in Egypt. In Egypt, they were slaves, but they were willing to trade their freedom for a better menu. So God sent quail. Unhappy people, the people that were in the wilderness. But you know who they are, and they were God's chosen people. We must never, ever forget that. It would be harder on them, but we are like them, and they are like us. We are God's people. We're all God's people. But God did have a chosen people. The Jews are God's chosen people. Let us never forget that. And if you are saved, if you love God and accepted God, you are their brother and their sister. And don't you ever forget that. We are to love them with the love of the Lord. Now, a good dose of Psalms 103. Here it goes. Sometimes we need to give ourselves a good talking to. That's what Psalms 103 is all about. It's a prayer by David in which he talks to his own soul and reminds his own self to bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. I wonder how many of us could give God a one-minute praising for all his blessings. We are sure good at telling the Lord what we want him to do for us. We need a good dose of Psalms 103 to wash out the complaining spirit and replace it with a heart of gratitude toward the Lord. Now, I call your attention to this because we only are a few days away from Thanksgiving. In order to prepare our hearts, I plan to devote 3 sermons to Psalms 103. But now, some people consider this the greatest of all Psalms. Spurgeon called it a Bible within itself and said it contains too much for 1,000 pens to write. Now, we know from the subscription of David that he wrote these magnificent words. Now, I believe that he wrote them late in his life when he could look back and speak from experience about the tender mercies of the Lord. We can outline Psalms 103 this way. On a personal level, Romans 1:1-5, David reviews the mercy of God to him. And on a national level, in Romans 1:6-18, David reviews the mercy of God to Israel. And a universal level, in Romans 1:9-22, David calls all created beings to praise the Lord. Now, he begins by calling us to wholeheartedly, intentionally praise God. We need a good dose of Psalms 103 to wash out the complaining spirit and replace it with a heart of gratitude toward God. Let all this is within me praise his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. For God is good, and he is love, and he is merciful to us all. Let us stop for a moment and think about the goodness. God uses the good and bad together. Don't let us ever forget that. He uses the tribulations and trials in our life to work our salvation out, to head us toward an eternal life with him one day. We must think before we can think. We must ponder before we can praise, and we must remember before we can rejoice. Here are 5 blessed benefits of the Lord that we must never forget, my friends. The first one is pardon. He says, "Who forgives all your iniquities?" Now, David begins by reminding us that God forgives all our iniquities. It is not surprising that he starts here because this is the foundation of everything else. Our greatest problem is the guilt that we feel because of our sin in our life. And our greatest need is to know forgiveness from the Lord. Note that David says that God forgives all our iniquities, all of our iniquities. That's the good news, my friends, isn't it? Some of us have really blown it big time, and we have messed up over and over again. I include myself in that as well, my friends. I'm not perfect, but I am transparent and I am truthful, and that is what I'm going to be, because that is the only way God can use me. He only works in truth, my friends. And we've done the same dumb things repeatedly, even after promising never to do them again. I'm glad the word all is included, because it means that God intends to forgive my future sins. God is so good, so loving, so tender, and so merciful. If we would just stop to thank him. Thank you for the things that we don't even see. That's what faith really is. Think about it. Ponder on it. And then just do it. Most of us secretly imagine that when we come to Christ, all our past sins are forgiven. But then it's the foot race with the devil until the end of our life. But when Christ died, all our sins were in the future. And when we came to Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. Even the yet-to-be-committed sins, ones that would shock us if we knew about them right now. What a God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. What mighty grace and love. He forgives all our sins, past, present, and future. That's huge insight, because it touches how we see God. He's more willing to forgive than we are to be forgiven. He is eager to forgive. He is ready to forgive. And he wants to forgive you right now. You know who you are. God's Spirit is speaking to you. Now, here's the second word, healing. Oh, my goodness. There are so many out there that need healing in their body, their spirit, their soul, and their mind. This will speak to you this morning. And then you call out to Almighty God to heal you and believe it. Thank him for the healing before the evidence, before it's manifested in the holy name of Jesus, in the holy name of God. Listen, he says, who heals all your diseases. Now, this benefit is close to my heart, because I have a lot of medicine throughout my family tree. One of my best friends is a nurse, and my daughter, Lacey, is a nurse. And I have a friend also who was a paramedic for quite some time before she started working for a district attorney, but she still has a medical background. And I have a few nieces that are involved in the medical as well. So I have a keen interest in the healing arts. Why? Well, listen. That's an apt phrase, because healing is truly an art and not just a science. After doctors and nurses have done all they can do, and after we have used all the latest technology and taken the newest drugs, healing must come from the Lord. That's why we pray for the sick. They may be healed by medicine or by surgery or by some other course of treatment. Or they may find healing through prayer or by a miracle from the Lord. All of those things are possible, and they are not mutual exclusive. But they all come from God, because God is in control of all things. He is a true blessing to each one of us if we would just stop and think. And not grumble, not complain, but think about the things that we should be so blessed for. Now, if you were sick and you are now healthy, give thanks be to God. And if you had cancer in your remission, give thanks to God. And if you nearly died after an accident but somehow survived that accident, be grateful. Give thanks to God. Because it did not happen without his permission, without his touch, without his loving hand upon your life. And remember that any healing in this life is limited and temporary. Our ultimate healing comes when we are raised immortally and incorruptibly. In that happy resurrection day, when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ rise first, found in the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Write all scriptures down today for time's sake, because sometimes I don't have the time to read them all. But then at last, we will be totally, completely, and finally healed once and for all. Now, between now and then, give thanks to the Lord for every bit of healing that you experience. If you took an aspirin now and the headache is gone, that too is from the Lord. God is good all the time. Good medicine and good prayer go together, hand in hand. People say, do you believe in divine healing? Of course I do. That's the only kind there is. It just comes in many different varieties. We just don't stop to take the time and think about it. Now here's the third, second word, deliverance. Who redeems your life from the pit. Oh my goodness, listen up my friends. Listen intently with your hearts. To redeem means to rescue from danger in the time of trouble. The pit refers to death itself. This benefit may be hard to grasp, so think of the speedometer in your automobile. Think of the thousands of miles you have driven with no accident. Yet every day people are killed on the highway, but you were not killed when you could have been. That you're listening to these words is proof positive that you are not dead. God has preserved you to this very moment and has protected you every step of your journey. If God willed, it would to be so. You would die today, and you might die today, but it can't happen without God's permission. Satan himself cannot touch you, my friends, not without God's permission or hand. Listen, I'm on a mission today, a mission that is possible, a mission that is in the hands of God, and this mission includes you. You're here. It's not by mistake. This is a divine appointment, my friend. So listen, when I preached a sermon a few years ago out of town, there was, after the service was over, there was book tables set up everywhere. And there were people everywhere, you know, buying things. And this one lady was buying a book at another table that I just happened to be standing by with some friends. And I heard her say, well, if you're going to die by hanging, you'll never drown. I looked up and I said, what was that? She smiled and said that was a favorite saying of her father's. Now, she hated it when she was growing up, but now she understands it has a profound statement regarding God's sovereignty. Listen up. This is so precious and so awesome. If you're going to die by hanging, you'll never drown. So don't worry about either way. You can only die one way. And since all our days are written in God's book, found in Psalms 139:16, and he alone knows how our earthly journey will end. He alone, my friends, knows that. We don't know that, but we have to trust him. This is where we trust in our faith and trust in God. We don't have to live in fear of our future. We'll all die someday, and when the moment comes, we may hang or we may drown or however, but we won't do it. We won't do both. It'll be one or the other, or whatever circumstance God chooses for our life. Whatever he chooses for us, believe me, it always makes a statement, and it always works with the good and the bad, and God never, ever makes mistakes, my friends. I want you to know that. He never, ever, ever, ever makes mistakes. No, he doesn't. He just doesn't make mistakes. So, cheer up, saints of God. If you're going to die by hanging, you'll never drown. To me, that means we ought to live life with no care for how or when we are going to die. Every day the Lord rescues us in a million ways that we don't see, that we don't think about, that we don't stop to take the time to breathe in and breathe out and really think about God is in our life. His angels encamp around us to deliver us from trouble. When the time comes to die, we will die. We are immortal until our work on earth is done. Often we are too flippant about God's protection, as if we were in charge of everything, but we're not. Listen, I pray over my family and over my friends, and especially over my daughter, who is a prodigal daughter. I know where she's at. She's in California. Thank God I do know where she's at and that she's alive. But she needs help. She needs to get well. She's running from God. She knows God. She loves God. But she's just running from him. But I've always told her, God will be right there when you're ready to stop running. And God encamps warring, protecting angels around you, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter where you are, who you're with. He protects you from yourself, and he protects you from others, and he protects you from things. I've always taught her that. And I know that the scripture is true. It does not go void. When you teach the children the way they should go and train them in the way they should live, when they are old, and that doesn't mean old in age, it means when they're ready, when God is ready. He knows their hearts. Thank God he doesn't look on the outward, but God looks on the inward. Then he will prepare them to turn their lives around and get completely ready and well. I'm praying that prayer for her, and I know she knows it. And I know that I'm going to get the answer of total healing and total wellness with her, because God created her for great things. He created somebody, you, out there for great things. And somebody is praying for you today. Believe it. Believe it. And your answer is coming, because he loves you so much. And he died for you so many years ago, over 2,000 years ago. So listen up. He's coming. And he loves you with all his heart. Don't you ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. What happened today? Don't forget it. Nothing? Oh, yes, it's something. But think of what didn't happen, my friends. No one robbed you. No one shot you. You weren't fired. Your arthritis didn't flare up. Or if it did, you made it through the day. A truck didn't hit you. You were maybe rear-ended. No one scammed you on the internet. Through some people, they do try that. But you are protected. Just listen up. Everything happens for a purpose, and all good and bad work together. I know that some of us don't think about that, and maybe we don't even know it, but it's true. Just listen. God is good in every way, and he loves you so much. Never forget that. Never, ever forget that. It's just, God is good. Now, maybe your wife, maybe they really do still love you. Maybe your husband is still happy to see you. Thank God for that, because he is the God of all things. You don't have cancer anymore, or if you do, you're not dead yet. You are still breathing and alive, and you still have time to be grateful, to be thankful, and ask God for whatever your needs are. He's there, but he doesn't release that power and authority until you speak from your mouth and your heart. Maybe not as much as 3 months ago, but you're not broke. And if you are, there is a purpose and a reason for everything. He's trying to get you back on track. Your job. If you don't have a job, ask for one. Believe for one. And believe it before you receive it, before it manifests. And it will be done. I promise you, God says, ask and it shall be open. Knock and the door shall open for you. Just do it. And do it now. Think of all the bad things that could have happened to you today that didn't happen, and be grateful and be thankful. The fact that you think nothing happened today means that God has been doing his job. Oh, yes, on your behalf. I call this the doctrine of perpetual preservation. It means that while we are on earth with all its dangers and troubles, God is constantly at work behind the scenes, working to protect us from trouble, to clear the way ahead, and to give us strength for each new day, because God's glory is new every morning, new and fresh every morning, waiting for you. The story is told that over a bed in a hospital in England, that a bronze plaque with these words were said, "This bed has been endowed by the savings of a poor man who is grateful for an unexpected recovery." Now, if we could only see life as God does, we would make a new plaque like that every day and hang it on the wall, because we're grateful. Because he's given us another opportunity to be grateful. Oh, thanks be to God, right? Thanks be to God. Now, here's the third word, coronation. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Now, the older translations say that the crown, that he crowns us with loving kindness. It's the loyal, unending, unchanging love of God toward us. Now, he heaps us his blessings, and then he pours them out on us. Then he crowns us with tender mercies. Why doesn't he say tender justice? Well, there's nothing tender about justice. Mercy implies failure and defeat. Tender mercies means he knows what we are going through, and he meets us where we are. If we were to receive what we truly deserve from God, we would stand no chance. But instead of justice, my friends, God gives us tender mercies. Yes, he does. In fact, that you think nothing happened today means that God is doing his job. Don't you forget it. He loves you, and he is there for you. The crown reminds us that our position as the children of God in our day, only kings and queens wore crowns. But it is the privilege of every Christian, every child of God, every person who has repented of their sins and ask God to come into their heart and their life and to be their Lord and Savior, to be crowned with loving kindness and the tender mercies of a loving God. Now, here's the fourth word. And we have five wonderful words that are benefits. The fourth word is satisfaction. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. That's the scripture. The text says that he satisfies you with good. That means there is nothing on earth that can satisfy you deeply except God himself. The good of verse 5 in Romans 1 comes from God, not from anything that we see around us. One translation says, he fills my life with good things, which is true enough, but that might leave the impression that God promises certain material benefits, like money or status or promotion or some sort of earthly prosperity if we will only serve him. But the emphasis is not on what we possess, but on what possesses us. Did you hear what I just said? But the emphasis is not on what we possess, but on what possesses us. Eugene Peterson captures that nicely in The Message. He wraps you in goodness, beauty, eternal. Woo! That is so powerful, isn't it? To be satisfied means to be so full that you need nothing else. It's what happens at the end of Thanksgiving dinner when you simply cannot eat anything else. You have had two helpings of everything, and even though there is more food on the table, you cannot eat any of it because you're so full. If you are hungry, to be full like that is a wonderful sensation. But that satisfaction eventually wears off and you have to eat again. Here, David speaks of satisfaction deeper than anything the world can offer. In many American households, Thanksgiving is a time for three things: food, family, and football. After the meal is over comes the big event. We sit in front of a TV, at least men do, or some people, and we watch the Dallas Cowboys on national TV or whatever football team of your choice is. Football provides a good reminder of the fleeting nature of earthly satisfaction. In the early 1970s, I'm using the Dallas Cowboys because it's one of my favorite teams. The Dallas Cowboys had a star running back named Dwayne Thomas, who was known to be somewhat unpredictable. One year of the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl. During the lead up to the big game, someone asked Dwayne Thomas, what he thought about playing the ultimate game. Now listen to his reply, my friends. He replied with an answer that might have come right out of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. If this is the ultimate game, he says, why do they play it again next year? And I say, why indeed? Listen up. God is good, isn't he? He is so good that he provides us with everything that we need. So it's with everything the world offers, we are here today, gone tomorrow. God says to his fading, frail, perishing children, because you see, we lack because we don't ask. His children perish because they don't ask. They don't develop that relationship with him. They don't get in their prayer closet and pray on a daily basis. They don't get in the word and learn what he is saying to them. You see, we cannot know God without knowing the scripture, without knowing what he's saying us, because when you start reading scripture, my friends, you learn who God is, what he desires of you, what he created you for, and at the same time, you're developing that relationship, that closeness with him, and you are sharpening your discernment that you hear the Spirit of God when he speaks to you, and he directs you. You see, some people's little alarm system that's built in, called our spirit, has just, the alarm has just gone off, and we're not hearing it anymore. And the reason is because we're not developing our relationship with God. We don't hear the Spirit when he's speaking to us and desperately trying to guide us in the right path so that we don't make those mistakes and that we become grateful because we are in tune and we hear his voice in our spirit, in our heart. And God could speak audible if he desired to do so, but he uses a soft, tender voice to speak into our spirit, into our heart. And as we develop that relationship with him, as we become more grateful and we begin to eat the word of God, which is food for our soul, as we begin to spend time in prayer, which is food for our soul that strengthens us and builds us up, it builds our spirit man up, which is the real person. Because you see, this body that we live in is just an old tent. It's just an old house. It's not the real you. The real you is the spirit that lives on the inside. And that is what you're trying to do, is to build up him so he makes the decisions. Your flesh is no good. You were born with an Adamic nature. It cannot make good decisions. But the spirit man, who is the real person you are, can make the right decisions if you're feeding him the right food. Feasting on God's word feeds your spirit man the right food, which heads you in the right direction, which gives you the right information and puts you on the right track. Listen to what I'm saying to you. This is the word of God speaking to somebody this morning. Somebody who really wants to know the answer. Well, you're getting it this morning, and you're getting it from God's word, and it is the truth, and nothing but the truth. And the truth is the only thing that can set you free. It's the only thing that you can be really grateful for, because it is true freedom. God is true freedom. I couldn't live my life without him, would never want to live my life without him, and I'm so grateful for him. So grateful for the study of his word. So grateful for the time that I have to pray every day to sharpen and tune my spirit so that I hear him with my heart, my spirit, my soul, and my mind. So it's with everything the world offers you. You don't have to take it, but you can take what God offers you if your spirit man is tuned in and he speaks to you. He speaks to you every day. If you're not hearing him, it's because you're not feeding on the word of God. It's because you're not spending time. When you want to know somebody, what do? When you have a new friend or a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend, what do? You take time to spend time to them, to get to know them. That's the same thing God requires of you, to spend time with him, to get to know him through his word and through prayer. That's how you develop the relationship with someone you love. That's how you develop the relationship with God. There is a way to renew yourself, your energy, your outlook, and your attitude. It's better than aerobics. It's cheaper than health food. And it's quicker than dieting, and altogether less strenuous than jogging. And what is this miracle cure? Fill your life with God's good gifts, his word, prayer, relationship with him. If you will let him, the Lord will give you something the world can never match, my friends. Never match. The result will be immortal youth, immortal youth, immortal eternity forever with him. You have a destiny. You choose the destiny. Every decision you make on a daily basis, you are setting up the framework for your destiny. Where are you choosing to go? I think you know there's only two places, either hell or heaven. And I don't mind saying it because the Bible said it. God said it first. So I'm going to say it now. You have a choice. You can choose God or you can choose your way. I think you know if you choose your way where you're going to go. But if you choose God's way, you have eternal life forever. And you're grateful for it. I'm so grateful that he chose me. That he chose me to be his child so that I can give the word to you so that you have a chance to choose him if you already don't know him. Today is the day of salvation, my friends. Today is the day to be grateful. Today is the day to serve the Lord with all your heart. God is a mighty God, a powerful God. He's a friend that is everlasting. He's a love that's everlasting. He's a grace that's ever forgiving. And he is forgiveness that always forgives. And he is always on time. And he is never, ever late. That's what Pondelance tried to find out, requesting the fabulous foundation of youth, but he didn't find it. You'll never find that without knowing God. You'll never find it because it's not anywhere in this world. It's only through God that you will find life eternal, my friends. I want to satisfy you not with gold, but with good, God says. Not with which glitter is today and is gone tomorrow, but with which is permanent, eternal, and everlasting, increasing in value. God intends to give us contentment, love, happiness, peace, joy, grace, a understanding, satisfaction, strength, vigor, victory. Victory through him. And it is only through him, my friends, that you will find victory, happiness, and all the things that I just said. Only through him. And that is the truth. That is the truth. Now, it's no mistake that you've tuned in today because you needed to hear the good news if you don't know it. Or maybe you do know it, but you needed to be reminded of it again. Well, I'm just saying, I'm pushing that reminder button for you. Now, who is the greatest saint? Well, let me tell you. Listen to who is the greatest saint. And so we come to the end of the magnificent succession of benefits. Now, listen. They form a perfect summary of thanksgiving for anyone who wants to wake up his soul and praise the Lord. And what are these blessing benefits? There are five of them. Pardon, healing, deliverance, coordination, satisfaction. If you don't know where to begin in praising God, start right here. William Law offers these words of wisdom. Listen up intently with your heart, my friend. Who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts the most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice, but it is he who always is thankful to God. He who fills that relationship with God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart ready to praise God eternally. God is waiting for you with open arms this morning. You know who you are. You know God's gently tugging on your heart, speaking to your spirit, singing to your soul. The greatest saint is the one who sees God in everything and everywhere, who understands that circumstances are fingerprints of God. And seeing him in the best and the worst that life has to offer, who gives thanks always in all things, good and bad, and knows that God will somehow work it out through the good and the bad. The greatest saint is the one who sees God in everything, everything. And in this sermon on Psalms 103, Close Chapel says that on the west coast in England, there is a grave of a man who was much loved by all who knew him. Now, when he died, these words were inscribed on his headstone. Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus, with God. Chapel then adds this benediction. If that can be said of us, we have sufficient to make all the time and eternity one great Thanksgiving day. What is the application of all this? It is not hip or complex, my precious friends, because you're his beloved. Don't you forget it. And it seems more important to me today than it did 20 years ago as the years roll on and life teaches you some important lessons. You learn that not all your dreams come true. That's good. That can be a good thing because sometimes we want things that are not good for us. The wise among us have learned to thank God for the prayers that God never answered and dreams that never came true. It is good to dream big dreams and to imagine all that you might do someday. But living forever in the future tends to make you unhappy where you are today. If you don't know where to begin in applying this sermon, this message, let's circle back to the beginning and take the advice of Ken Blanchard in his great book that I spoke about earlier in this sermon. Let's do some one-minute praising this week. Catch your spouse doing something right and give him praise. Catch your children, your friends, your pastor, your coworkers, your husband, your wife. Catch somebody doing something great, and when you see it, give them praise. Give them praise because they're doing the right thing and they're doing something good. The wise among us have learned to thank God for prayers that God never answered and dreams that never came true. Because then, watch what happens when you do that. Watch how God comes on the scene and watch the miracles take place and watch the prayers be answered and watch the dreams come true when you thank God for it all, no matter what, no matter what comes your way, no matter what. When you do that, 1 minute praising, things take place, miracles happen. You're on the verge of a miracle today, and I don't know who you are, but you know who you are, and God loves you so much, and he wants that gift for you. Take it while he extends his hand to you, and do it now. That alone will do your soul good. Just focusing on the positive will lift your spirits, but then give God a minute of praise. I know that sounds triumphant, but start there. Try praising the Lord for 1 minute without stopping. Do it every day, for every week, for every moment to see how it strengthens your heart and your soul and brings you closer to God and causes you to do the things and be the things that God created you to do all along. He, a good father, only wants the best for you, and that is my Heavenly Father. I know he is good. I experience it on a daily basis. I experience his love and his kindness and his generosity and everything that comes with my Father's love. He loves you the same way. Just stop and smell the coffee. Stop and take a break. Stop and hear his soft, tender, loving, gentle voice. There are two kinds of people in this world, those who dwell on what they want and those who dwell on what they have. As we approach Thanksgiving this year, as we count our blessings and name them one by one, let us join the ranks of those who dwell on what they have. So glorify God enough and glorify him today. Do it forever. Do it forever. You are his precious beloved. Remember, the wise among us have learned to thank God for prayers that God never answered and dreams that never come true. Watch and see what God does when you do that. Watch the manifestation take place. Watch the evidence appear. Watch the miracles in your life. Watch your life change. Watch it and know it, and I want to hear about it. Give me a good report because I know it's coming. I know it is coming. If you don't know Jesus Christ today or God as your personal Lord and Savior, then I want you to take a moment to pray with me the sinner's prayer. All you have to do is repent of your sins and pray this prayer with me. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever in eternity, and you'll be a child of God. So repeat after me, Father, in the holy name of Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner, lost without a Savior. I ask you to wash me and cleanse me as white as snow. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Help me to be all that you created me to be. Help me to hear your tender, loving voice. And help me to stop and give you praise for all the things that you've done, especially that you heard my prayer, that you saved my life, that you saved my soul, and that you've written it down in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. So when my life comes to an end at this journey, earthly journey that I'm walking in, that I will see you face to face. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for setting me on the right path. And everybody says, in Jesus' name, God bless and thank you. Thank you so much. If you have said that prayer today, you are a child of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the angels in heaven are having a party on your behalf. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to today's program. Always remember, God loves you. He's for you and never against you. His victory is yours today. This is truly a day to be thankful and never forget all God's benefits as a child of God, remembering all his promises all of his promises are true. Happy Thanksgiving. You are his beloved. God bless you until we meet again.